Through our lives as believers, we are often faced with many challenges and trials. And in the midst of those trials and challenges, oftentimes our first reaction is prayer, as it should be. For God is the one who is able to effect change, who is able to bring comfort, who is able to give us peace. And many times it's the only place that we have to turn. In 1998, a long time for most of us ago, I was faced with one of these times. I had just quit a full-time youth ministry position working in a church, and I was preparing to spearhead a development of a youth camp. At that time, I had led many summer camps and was on the board of directors at a summer camp, and really felt like it was something that God was directing me to do. Now, there was another couple that my wife and I had met in Bible college, and they were going to go up there with us. So we had somebody to do it with. It was backed by a church. Everything seemed to be lining up. Similar, or at the same time, the church that I was currently working at, they had hired a senior pastor that I didn't view as biblically qualified. And so there was a little conflict there. And so I viewed this orchestrating of events as God's will for my life, and I put in my resignation at the church and started preparing to go up and start this youth camp. Well, it was taking a long time for the youth camp to come together. So I ended up moving in with my mom and dad for a short period of time in preparation. I'm not sure if any of you have heard of a spotted owl, but in California, the spotted owl is very famous. You see, the spotted owl is on the endangered species list. So you can't disturb the habitat of a spotted owl. The property that we are going to build this youth camp on belonged to a logging company. And the logging company had come in and they had logged everything. And they were going to lease the property to this church for $1 a year for 100 years. And of course, at the end of the 100 years, they'd come back in and they'd log all the trees. Well, because of this spotted owl being on the property and not being able to disturb its habitat, all of a sudden, this summer camp that was this church camp that was going to be created is no longer going to be created. So that kind of left me living in my parents' house with two kids, working a job that was barely above minimum wage, not in ministry, and I had no prospects. Everything that I had planned had fallen through. There were many late nights on my knees before God, seeking God's will, praying that God would tell me what to do. I wanted him to point me. I would say, "What do I do, God, this or this?" But the skies were silent. Of course, that was part of my problem. I literally wanted God to do a miracle for me. Okay, God, if I wake up in the morning and I get a phone call, Lord, if you want me to go this direction, have somebody, you know. And it didn't happen. I wanted him to act according to my will. This is what I want, God. Do it for me. But that's not how God works. Scriptures like 1 John 5:14-15, where it says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." Serving God by building a place for people to come and worship? That's a good thing, isn't it? How could this be outside of God's will? Or Luke 11:9-13. "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I was praying for a good thing. Why wasn't God giving it to me? Oh. Proverbs 16:9. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Fine. God didn't want me to build a youth camp. Well, I have a degree in theology. I have a desire to minister to youth. I've dedicated my life to serving God my way. How arrogant of me to tell God how he should direct my steps. I made my plans, but was I ready to follow God's direction? Did I really think there was only one way for me to live my life for God? Fortunately, Scripture is full of other verses. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Over the course of the next 8 years, God gently and lovingly taught me what it meant to live for him, to submit to his ways, to accept his decisions, even when my desires were different. I'm still not sure if I'm a slow learner or not because it took 8 years, but I do see a lot of these same struggles in the lives of the people here. When I talk to you, I hear about your struggle, your desire to serve God with all that you are, but somehow feeling that your current position in life is not the most effective you could be, that somehow there's something more that you're waiting for. But you know what? God has you right where he wants you. God did not plan for me to be on staff at a church working full-time in the ministry. I don't know why. But how do I know that? Because I'm standing here before you right now. If God, the God who created the universe, who made the sun stand still, the God who calmed the raging seas, the God who flooded the entire world, if God wanted me somewhere else, he would have me somewhere else. And I can rest in that. I can trust God with eternity. I can also trust him with my job. I can trust him with my family. I can trust him with my ministry, with how I serve him. This week, Friday night, we opened up our house and invited young men and women to come over. And oftentimes we have no idea who's going to show up. Well, this week God decided to bring young people from 3 different churches and 4 different countries to come and sit around a fire and fellowship with us. And I had to think, who am I? I don't write books. I have no fame. I have no fortune. But God, what amazing Father he is. If we are faithful and obedient, he is this amazing God. Ephesians 3:20-21, it's a benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As I prayed those prayers back in 1998, asking God to perform within me a miracle or to perform a miracle to give me an answer. God gave me an answer. It wasn't one I wanted to hear. But standing here looking back, it was his answer. And he has provided a ministry far above anything that I could have ever done. This week, as we look at prayer, Chappell wants us to look at praying within the bounds of God's will. And in the pursuit of God's will, we must first look to his word for guidance. Chappell uses an illustration of God's will as a road. And on this road, there are two fences, one on either side. On one fence, he labels it biblical righteousness. And on the other side of the road, he has Christian prudence. This week, we're going to be talking about biblical righteousness, praying for God's will within the fence, within the bounds of biblical righteousness. And in truth, the complexity and the depth of this subject is such that we could spend the rest of our year talking only about God's will. But for this focused study of praying in God's will, we are specifically looking at staying within the bounds of biblical righteousness in our prayers. When we find ourselves praying and seeking God's will on a subject, one of the first questions we should ask is this righteous? Is this prayer a righteous prayer? Is it something we should be praying for? Praying that no one catches you in a lie? Well, the God of truth is not going to honor that prayer request. Is it wrong to pray to be a successful thief? Yes, of course it is. However, society has things mixed up. When we watch movies like Ocean's 11, 12, and 13, where the thieves are somebody you're rooting for, well, the ends do not justify the means. Sinning to get revenge is still sinning. You know, we look at Marvel and DC, and those heroes are still going to have to stand before God and answer for every act that they did outside the bounds of law to a holy and righteous God. And the truth still remains that your salvation is only found in Christ. It matters not which multiverse you live in, because actually there's only one. As a side note, the make-believe worlds of superheroes and multi-universes and galaxies where we meet aliens, I believe those are distractions of Satan to draw us away, to draw man's thoughts away from God, to the possibility of a life absent of God. Be careful as you consume entertainment to not let it draw you away from the truth. Now, back to our previously scheduled programming. Never does our holy God ask us to pray for things outside of righteousness. Therefore, we can confidently look to Scripture for the guidelines of our prayers. Think of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, 4 through 17. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for the Lord your God is a jealous God. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Consider Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And one of my favorites, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. If your prayers reflect these scriptures, you can be confident that you are praying within the bounds of righteousness, praying within God's will. Chappelle further gives us instruction at this point that we also need to honor God's authority. As I spoke earlier about my own prayer, I desired to be a youth pastor on staff at a church. On the outside, this would appear to meet all of those qualifications of praying within the bounds of God's will, within the bounds of righteousness. However, my failure was to not take to heart Christ's own example before he went to the cross and he poured out his heart and he said to God, "Not my will, but your will." In our prayers, we need to respect the authority of God to make any decision regarding our requests. It may not be what we want, but in Christ's example, he displayed obedience to the will of God. I would like to read an excerpt from the book. It is at the top of page 146. Chappelle writes, "We can pray with great confidence in God's fatherly care, but we can predict his plans with little certainty. Usually, he reveals his will over time through the obedience of his people. As we obey him and pray for his purposes, he perfects his will in and through us. We see his will through the events that unfold, but their significance may not be apparent for years or until we are with the Lord." When I prayed all those years ago for God's will in my life, I had no idea. If you would have told me you're going to be a handyman in Houston, Texas, when I was living in California, I wouldn't have believed you. No way. How would God ever take me there? But he did. Praise the Lord. If I may return to the analogy of the road, it seems as though, from our perspective, at times we are on a superhighway with 8 lanes. And we have all these choices before us. We've got a fence on this side, and we know those options aren't available. So these righteous choices, these choices that fit within the scope of obedience to God's word, that fit within God's, you know, possible will for us, sometimes we get lots of choices. But that can sometimes cause doubt or uncertainty. But it's good to remember that from God's perspective, he's directing everything. He's got the roadmap marked out. For him, there are no detours. There are no bridge out signs that he's unaware of. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he is in control. And he directs our path down his predetermined will. Another thing we need to remember as we're on this road is that we're not on a parking lot. It's not okay to sit and do nothing. When we're on a path, when we're on a road, it's meant to be traveled on. Anytime a car is stopped in the middle of the road, you know it's a bad thing. That's not what's supposed to happen. So keep moving. Despite our human limitations, there is one prayer that is always in God's will, and that prayer is for our sanctification. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." When we pray for sanctification, we pray that our faith will be strengthened, that our obedience will be stricter, that our dependence of God will be deepened, When we pray for sanctification, we are praying for God to make us more like Christ. However, if we're sincere in our prayer, then we must also study God's word. We cannot be in God's will if we do not know his word. This is a lifelong journey that requires us many trips through God's word, through the entire Bible. It's not an option. As I was preparing this, I realized it only takes about 11 minutes a day of reading the Bible to read through the Bible in an entire year. And if I'm honest and I look at my phone, and I'm sure if you guys look at your phones and you check out the statistics, that the time that we spend on social media, on entertainment, on video games, on all these distractions, we spend way more than 11 minutes a day. And as I call your attention to this point, I'm pointing the finger right back at myself, because I can come up with the best excuses for putting off studying God's word. One of my most common is, I'm tired. I don't feel like it. I don't want it to become rote, you know? I don't want it to get old or stuffy. My Bible reading, it should be led by the Spirit. I have to work. I have to sleep. I have to eat. Oh, look, a new email, a new text. But my favorite is, you know, I need to go fishing. I can't stress enough how important it is to be reading God's word. Not books about his word or books about doctrine, but the actual text. That is the power of God's word. It's God's word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. To pray for sanctification and not know the standard to which you are asking to be molded into, it's like asking a painter to paint a portrait of someone he's never seen. Draw for me a picture of T.R. Smith. My wife knows T.R. Smith, but most of you don't. Well, okay, some of you don't have pens, so just think about T.R. Smith. Think about an image of T.R. Smith. Is it a boy or a girl? Is he old or young? It's impossible. You don't know him. Do you know God? Do you know his word? Without being in God's word, you will ever be floundering in your walk with God, trying to figure out his will for your life. Study God's word. It's vital. As we yearn to discover God's will in our prayer life, we need to know his word. But what if the thing we're seeking guidance on is not specifically spelled out in the Bible? Should I take job A or job B? Should I continue pursuing, you know, Susie to get married, or should I move to Istanbul? Assuming that our choices are within the bounds of God's word, that they're righteous choices, Chappelle asserts that we need to avoid labeling the choices as good or evil, trying to put ourselves in God's shoes. God is the one that directs our steps, and he may be blessing you with many options. I look back on my own life, and I think about the year 2008, because that's the year we moved our family across this country specifically to go to attend Grace Family Baptist Church. Our goal in this move was to find a place to raise our children among like-minded believers where we and they could afford to live within their means. With that goal, how many places across America could we have moved? We didn't move to attend Grace because it was the most righteous church. or that all the other churches in America were lacking. What a blessing to live in a nation where we have as many options as we do to worship God. Because in some places in this world, if you want to go to church, you get one choice, and that's it. But God, in his infinite wisdom, directed us halfway across this country to this little church, GFBC, where he's continued to sanctify us and grow us and our children. And through those years, we had to trust him through many trials, but he has always proved faithful. One of the benefits of being older, I'm not going to call myself old yet, of being older, is that I have a longer history to look back and to see God's faithfulness through prayer, through what he's brought us through, and how he's used these events in my life to shape me and to put me exactly where he wanted me. And as God has sanctified me, it was not always fun. You know, there was times of extreme physical pain. I had back surgery. Months of living in pain. But it taught me perseverance. There were times of emotional pain. When we adopted our 14-year-old niece into our family, and here came the world with her. I mean, we had formed this perfect Christian little family, you know, keep out the world, and wow. But God taught me humility. I didn't know everything. I still don't know everything. And also taught me what it meant to be long-suffering. In those times of refining, you need to remember Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. As you pray, God will answer. By submitting yourself to God's righteous answer and responding in faith to that answer, whether or not it is the answer you want, this will always bring you closer to God's will. God desires nothing more than for our hearts to be bound to his, putting our full trust in his good and loving providence. I have to say again, this was a difficult chapter to teach because the subject of God's will is so broad and so deep. Multiple times I had to refocus myself back to the chapter to stick to the author's outline because he continues to build on this subject in the next chapter. As Chappelle closes this chapter, he acknowledges the difficulties of our imperfect human desires and our emotions leading us into confusion. Questions like, should I stop praying for this now? Am I not passionate enough in my prayers? Am I too stubborn to accept God's answer? How can I be sure this is the way I'm supposed to go? These doubts threaten our prayer life. Well, fortunately, you can come back next week and hear the conclusion of praying in God's will to help with those. But as we close, our first priority in praying is to pray according to God's word within the fence of righteousness. It's my prayer for those of you who are young, as I look around the sanctuary, I would pray that you would be obedient to God's word because God will direct your path. To those of you who are a little more established, you have kids of your own, you're in those hectic days of raising them, my prayer is that you would be obedient to God's word because God will direct your path. In the midst of the chaos of kids, where you're just surviving day to day, God is there with you. And to those who have grandchildren, my prayer is that you would be obedient to God's word, because God will direct your path. God is not done with you yet. Don't let up. Finish the race well.